Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I wanted to read to you from Daniel chapter 6. You remember in the book of Daniel, the enemies of Daniel wanted to get him ousted, so to speak. They wanted to get him in trouble with the king. And they said, we're not going to be able to find any dirt on Daniel except with regard to his God. That's the only thing that we can get him on, because Daniel was so faithful. And so they got the king to pass a law that said nobody can pray to anybody but the king for 30 days. Well, they knew Daniel prayed three times a day. And it says in Daniel 6, verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. He did not acquiesce to the new rule. He continued to pray. They threw him in the lion's den for it, but God delivered him, and God blessed him and honored him for his faithfulness and for his perseverance and for his unwavering commitment to the Lord. Well, we have in the studio with me today Average Joe. Coach Joe Kennedy. You've heard his story, no doubt. They have turned it into a movie that's coming out soon. But Joe Kennedy was a football coach in Washington State, and he was committed to pray, and they told him, you can't pray anymore, and he continued to pray, and they fired him for it. And that case went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court voted that his rights were violated, and they reinstated him. And so, Coach Joe, welcome to the program.
This is awesome to be here. Thanks.
Well, we're so glad to have you. Man, so many questions. This is an awesome story. And first question is, and I was shocked to read this, you were an atheist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, growing up, I as a Catholic, I doubted everything and questioned everything, and I rebelled against everything. So when I got on my own in the Marine Corps, that was just a good fairy tale. God was just a made-up thing, and I just had no faith whatsoever in anything. When you die, you're dead. And it wasn't until I got out of the Marine Corps that I actually found God and totally upset my life and turned everything upside down.
Okay, so tell us, Joe, how did that happen? So you're in the Marine Corps for 4 years. How long?
I retired in 2006, so 18 years.
18
I was
years.
In the Marine Corps. Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, the Marines are, once you're a Marine, you're a Marine.
Yes,
it's absolutely. It's a big deal, and so we appreciate your service for sure. But you come out of there, no faith, an atheist or agnostic, maybe yeah. Was a better way to say it?
No, I was an atheist.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so what? How did the Lord bring you to himself?
Well, in his own way, now I look back and I can actually see the puzzle pieces and his fingerprints all over it. But my childhood sweetheart, I met up with her right before I was getting out of the Marine Corps, and we got married.
Okay.
And she was a good church girl. She was always going to church. She loved the Lord, had a great relationship with him. And I was like, oh, isn't that cute? You go ahead. Mm-hmm. I fully supported her. You go talk to your imaginary God. I'm going to let you do your thing.
Right.
Well, I was failing as a husband. I mean, terribly. I already screwed up two other marriages. Mm. I screwed up my kid, you know, with the divorce and everything. And I didn't know how to be a father. She had three kids. And I didn't know what to do. I had no place to turn, and I'm losing the person that I'm my very first love. First love was obviously her. My second love was the Marine Corps, and I just lost the Marine Corps, so man, I'm going to lose the girl that I want to be with. Mm. And I didn't know what to do, so I went to church with her a couple times, and we got in a big old fight. I'm sitting there going, man, I don't know what to do. And I was at my wit's end. I mean, I see it ending here. And I don't know what happened. I got up and I walked up to the altar and I just fell to my knees and I just lost it. And I'm sobbing and I don't know why I'm talking to God. And I said, God, you know, if you're there, if you give me my wife, I will give you my life. And she saw me breaking down and just submitting to something finally. First time in my life I've totally submitted, and all because of her. And she just, I mean, our relationship, you know, we're somewhere in the Bible it says two become one. Now I understand that, because that's what happened. We were instantly healed. All the things that we were fighting about, all the things that I was screwing up in our relationship, absolutely went away, and we were that one. And God just did it.
How long had you been married when it hit that point?
It was probably 6 to 8 months.
Okay, so that early on. Okay, you were pretty difficult to live with, I'm assuming.
Because
it was your way or the highway.
Marines, you know, we're and she had three kids, and you know, when you come into a blended family, especially a Marine, who mama bears don't like when somebody comes in and starts disciplining their kids.
How old were the kids?
We had a mix. The youngest was 2, and I think the oldest was 9 or 10.
Was the biological father involved or not?
No. Well, he was in the picture in the a distraction off at the side, and tried to, you know, derail everything. So
That would have been a nightmare.
It was. It absolutely was.
So, not to get too personal, Joe, but a lot of shouting matches between you and your wife, I would imagine, with you're way too heavy-handed, don't discipline the kids like that, or they're not your kids, and which would just feed into the kids pitting you guys against each other. I can just imagine how.
And she had a lot of scars from growing up, and that's a reason why she got a divorce. Her husband was so abusive towards her. So anything I did
Was magnified.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't know how to reach her. And she put up so many barriers. She wasn't about to, you know, let her guard down. And I couldn't reach her. And she tried to push me away and close her. I tried to get to her, the more bricks she put up. It was horrible. And I mean, she tried to sabotage us the whole entire time.
Well, if there were a hopeless situation, that was a hopeless situation. But God. And so you turn your life over to the Lord, and that's when you received Christ as Savior and Lord that night?
It was.
And everything began to change?
Everything was, to me, absolutely perfect. I mean, I never knew what perfect was. You always think of this perfect life. I got a high-paying job. I'm married to the girl that I love. Our kids are doing great in school. Everything is going perfect according to plan, and there's nothing wrong with our relationship or anything in our life. And I'm like, well, if this is the way being a Christian is, I don't know why I didn't do this before. And I'm thinking, I have the wonderful Christian life. And then the coaching thing came up.
Okay, so you became a coach after you became a Christian,
right?
Okay,
yeah, that's where God turned. About a year after I became a Christian, that's when God said, "Okay, since you owe me, I'm going to call you to be a coach."
Yeah. Now, did you have, Joe, an affinity toward students and toward that age group?
I did. Being in the Marines, my passion was training young men and women to be better, to be, you know, good, strong, moral people. And I was such a terror when I was in school. I was the worst of the worst. I got kicked out of every school I ever went to.
And for fighting or?
Fighting, drugs, name it. I mean, I was horrible. I mean, just a horrible, horrible kid. In and out of group homes, foster homes, boys' homes. I mean, you name it.
What was your family life like?
I didn't really have one.
Your dad was not in the picture?
No. So I was given up at birth, unwanted pregnancy.
Oh, wow.
And adopted by a family that couldn't have kids. And then God started giving them kids, and they didn't need us anymore. And, you know, that does stuff to kids. And I became angry. Acted out, and it just compounded from there and just blew way out of control. And so I was that runaway kid, and just, it was terrible.
Okay, so the Marines helped you to gain structure and discipline in your life?
I needed something, because, you know, you always hear, you know, I'm going to end up dead if I don't change my ways. I needed something. And I really wanted, the whole time I was growing up, people would tell me that I'm not worth anything. Only thing I do is bring harm and you know, sorrow anywhere I go.
Wow.
And I wanted to know, am I going to be defined by my past, or am I actually capable of doing something? Mm-hmm. And, you know, watching John Wayne movies and stuff like that, I wanted to stand for something. And I thought, man, I could go get paid to go fight. And the hardest branch of the service is the Marine Corps. So I was like, man, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. And that's where I found my you know, second love of my love of my country. I found my more discipline, being part of a team. Mm-hmm. I was no longer a loner. I wasn't that guy. I had to rely on my brothers and sisters around me. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much about being part of the human race instead of being that lone guy who wouldn't let anybody get close to him.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we're talking to Coach Joe Kennedy. The book is called Average Joe, One Man's Faith and the Fight to Change a Nation. And you no doubt have heard about his story and his situation there before the Supreme Court. He lost his job as a coach because he prayed, just like Daniel went into the lion's den because he prayed. And he said, well, I'm going to continue to pray. You can't tell me not to pray. And so, Joe, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but so you have a salvation experience with the Lord. The Lord restores your marriage. And you still had to work through things. Obviously, it's not just snap your fingers and everything's fine. So there's still issues and things, forgiving and that kind of thing. But your relationship now is in a totally different direction. And your wife began to trust you, and the bitterness started to melt away, I'm assuming?
Yeah. To me, it was perfect. Of course, it wasn't. But right. Compared to what it was absolutely
so
perfect.
So the fighting went...
Yeah.
Down. Did the barriers that she had built up, those started to dissolve?
Yeah, that was the biggest thing, is that she actually let them all down and saw that God put us together. Mm-hmm. And it made sense to her, and that it was coming from God, not from the world like she was used to having.
So let me ask you this, Joe, would this be a fair assessment? It's almost like the Lord brought you to a place where he said, how long before you say uncle? How long before you yield and you finally broke?
Oh, yeah.
Finally. So all the pride just finally snapped and said, I can't do this.
First time in my life that I was broken.
Yeah. Wow. How cool. So then you started, you got baptized, you started to participate in that church?
Yeah. And that was a really weird thing because I questioned everything. I would fight with the pastor all the time. And so, you know, I guess they talk about the sheep and, you know, of the being in the church and part of the body. And I was like, I don't want to be a sheep, you know? And so the pastor said from the pulpit, he was like, you know, of my pasture or my flock here, we have a lot of really good sheep and we do have a couple goats, and I was proud to be one of those goats.
Oh, no.
Because I didn't understand what that
right.
meant. Yeah. But yeah, I really was questioning everything because I've never read the Bible. I don't have that background. I don't know any of those stories, and I'm just trying to love God and love others. I fail every day at those things. Mm-hmm. So that's all I'm trying to do, is I feel like I'm on the 12-step program and I get to step 2, you know, of loving others, and I fail and I got to start over every
right.
day.
Right. Well, the book is called Average Joe, One Man's Faith and the Fight to Change a Nation. And we're talking to Coach Joe Kennedy. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And so, Joe, as you were telling me beforehand, you get a football coaching gig and you don't know much about football.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Typically, they're not going to hire a guy that's
exactly.
not very well-versed in football.
Right. Yeah. I was out on a run, of all things. I was out doing my PT for the day, the physical training, out on a run, and I happened to have a Bremerton shirt on, and the athletic director, you know, all coincidence, I'm sure,
uh-huh.
he happens to see me and pulls up alongside and says, you know, hey, did you play football for Bremerton? Which started a conversation, and from there, it just... it snowballed, and it was crazy. Absolutely ridiculous where it went from there.
Amen. Well, we're going to hear more about that exciting story, the coach, Joe Kennedy, and his fight through the Supreme Court, his fight for his rights to pray. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here, and we'll be right back after the break.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, Real Truth for Today. We're talking to Coach Joe Kennedy, Marine Coach Joe Kennedy, and his fight against the Supreme Court, and just his life, how the Lord has done such great things in his life. And so, Joe, as we left off, you get this job as a football coach for a 2A school in Washington State.
That's correct.
They were not known for football prowess, or they were?
They were not.
Okay. So you're taking a group of ragtags, if we could say that, and whip these guys into shape. You don't know a lot about football, but you know about boys, and you know about discipline from your Marine Corps training. And so you hired other guys that knew about football, correct?
Yeah, well, that was the weirdest thing. I'm sitting in the interview, and I was sitting there with the head coach, and he's asking me all these football questions, and I can't answer any of them. And he thought, is this a joke, you know, like, is it hidden camera kind of thing? And he's like, why am I interviewing this guy? And I said, talk to the athletic director. He's the one who wanted this.
Yeah.
And he says, tell
him.
Did
you know that guy, or you just met him?
I met him, and he just kept pursuing me. I'd run into him. My wife worked for the school district. He kept bothering her. So this went on for almost a year of him trying to get me to come and coach.
And he knew about your story, and he knew about your salvation and that, or no?
No. Well, yeah, I have no idea what he knew at that time.
What were you doing?
I was working for the government. I had a government job there at Puget Sound Naval Shipyard. I worked in nuclear engineering and just did the quality control for those guys. So okay. I had a full-time job and everything. Everything was going good. And now all of a sudden this job comes up. And I didn't even know if I really wanted it, because here I am, you know, I just spent my life dedicated to the Marine Corps, and it was my life. I sacrificed my marriages and everything, and my son. Everything was put on second, because now all of a sudden, do I want to do this again? Mm-hmm. So this was a huge thing that I didn't know if I really wanted to do it. So when the athletic director said, tell them what you could bring to the program. And I said, well, discipline, team building, I could get the most out of these guys. You know, these are all, it's all intangible things. Mm-hmm. Your coaches could focus solely on this, and I will take care of the rest. And they love that. They said, we'll give it a try for a year. They offered me the job after they heard that, and I went home to talk to my wife about it, obviously, because this is huge.
This would be a cut in pay, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. You don't coach to get paid. Not up in the Pacific Northwest or the whole left coast. Yeah. No, this is...
But this is a full-time gig.
Coaching, to me, it is. So I would work full-time.
Okay. So you still had your job.
Yes.
This was something...
And then right after work, I would go.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it was crazy. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to figure out, do I really want this job? I'm talking to my wife about it, and she goes, well, I think God's calling you to do this. And I'm like, I don't know, because I don't understand this whole God thing still. Mm-hmm. But I'm giving everything a try. And our kids are at the high school, and that's kind of the
refuge. Yeah.
They get to be away from me.
Stay
now.
Stay away from me, Dad.
Yeah, that and now I'm going to be on campus. Yeah. So we had a lot to talk about as a family. And in the middle of the night, during that weekend, have you seen the movie Facing the Giants? Uh-huh. So, in the middle of the night, I'm flipping through the channels, and this football movie, Facing the Giants, comes on. And for the second time in my life, I was dropped to my knees and totally convicted. And it was like God said, I'm calling you to do this.
Oh, wow.
And I just knew. And that's where the whole praying thing actually started, was there on my living room floor, me crying like a baby, which Marines don't cry a lot. Uh-huh. I mean, it's the second time in my life I remember crying. And both times is because of God.
Right.
And it's like the Kendrick brothers reached through and just grabbed my heart and just squeezed it. And I said, God, I will give you the glory after every game, win or lose. Just like in the movie.
Yeah.
Something so simple. And that's the way everything started. Wow. Is just something like that.
Do you know them, the Kendricks?
I have not met them personally. I've talked to them on the
phone.
Here,
they're here at the NRB.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about meeting them.
Man, you need to. I would go up to them and just say, hey, this is how your movie affected me. Because they'll know who you are based on the story.
Yeah, I got to put my Marine Corps pants on first. I don't want to get emotional.
I just think that's so cool. If I see them, I'm going to talk to them and tell them, hey, you need to talk to Joe Kennedy. That is awesome. So how long from the time you became a Christian until the time you took the job coaching, how much time has elapsed?
About a year.
Okay. So you take the guys, you got football coaches to coach football. You're overseeing things. You're setting the tone, the culture. We're disciplined. We're going to be supportive of one another. You build that unity. When did prayer start to figure into the daily activity?
So after every game, Friday Night Lights, after every game, you have the two teams that come and meet at the 50-yard line. They shake hands, good game. And we meet with the coaches. Now, I was an assistant coach for the varsity, but I was head coach for the junior varsity. We play on Mondays, the following that team on Monday. Mm-hmm. So I would meet with the other coaches and we would talk, whatever. Do you need anything for the game? Mm-hmm. Logistics, whatever. And I was standing out on the 50-yard line doing this. And before I leave the field, my thing was I was going to give him the glory right there on the battlefield. And so I would, as soon as I was done, I just faced the scoreboard, took a knee, thank God, for being there and what those guys did. And I walked off the field. And that went on for months mm-hmm. before anybody even knew what I was doing mm-hmm. until one of my players came up and said, Coach, what are you doing out there after the game? And I was just thanking God for what you guys did. Mm-hmm. And they were like, can we join you? And I was like, it's a free country. Mm-hmm. Of course you can.
Yeah.
I mean, it's America, man. Of course you can.
Yeah.
And so that's how it all started. And it was hit and miss. I mean, if you get your butt kicked by 60 points, kids don't want to come out and they're not grateful for anything. And they right. want to lick their wounds and go home.
But you were still doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every game.
So facing the Giants, win or lose, we give God the glory.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how long, Joe, before somebody got upset about that?
We were in our eighth year.
Okay, you've been doing this 8 years.
8 years. And so it evolved. It's a small community. You know how kids, they play peewees together, and then they kind of branch off and go to different high schools. So they're still friends. And mm-hmm. my team captains came up and said, hey, coach, can we invite the other team? And I was like, man, this is your team. Mm-hmm. You guys do what you want to do. So they invited the other team. And so at the end, we had every school out there in our league praying together after every game. Which
How
was,
cool. And yeah. this is silent prayer. This is an out loud prayer?
Well, it turned into an out loud prayer. I would hold a helmet up from each team mm-hmm. and just, I'm not a great prayer kind of guy. I'm like, God, thank you for these guys. These Warriors fought for 48 minutes. And, as enemies, now we could walk off the field as brothers and, hey, pray for Johnny who broke his leg or whatever,
right, right.
that kind
so it's
of
just
stuff.
Succinct.
Yeah. And, yeah. and just kind of lift those guys up and then we peace out, mm-hmm. they say amen and we walk off. And it was just something cool.
Right.
And wouldn't it take more than 30 seconds? Because I don't know what else to say beyond that. Yeah, and that went on for the 8 years, and it was right at the beginning of the eighth year season that before anybody took notice of it and was made aware of it, mm-hmm. is a way to say it. And actually, it didn't come from somebody that was complaining. Somebody from another school district saw what we were doing, felt compelled to call the principal of our high school and say, I just went to the football game, and what I saw, it was just amazing to see this. It was a great game. And yeah. he says, they came together and they prayed, and that was just amazing.
So they were praising.
Yes.
For that. Yeah.
And so he wanted to know what was so amazing about it. So they started investigation.
The principal didn't know you were doing this?
How could he not?
I mean, right. He came to the games, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, he's a believer himself. I mean, yeah. we've talked. He runs a Bible study on Wednesdays. He's been to football games. This is not a hidden thing. This
right.
has gone on for 8 years.
Right.
Praying twice a week, Mondays and Fridays, every week for 8 years. Not a big deal. In locker rooms before games. I mean, this is just prayer and football has always gone together. It wasn't something original that I thought of. But they started the investigation, and it was the district's lawyers that they were scared that somebody could potentially be upset about it.
Right, okay.
And that's what really started the whole lawsuit stuff. Because I thought we could work it out because we're friends, you know. I mean.
So did the fire then come initially from the principal?
No, it came from the lawyers. They gave me a letter of direction and just kind of warning of, hey, this is the rules. There's only one rule and one policy, and that's you cannot encourage nor discourage kids in prayer. And I was like, well, cool.
You're not, yeah. You're,
yeah, I don't care if they come out or not. So fine, right. We're good. No problem. Well, then it started picking up its own light, and the media got a hold of it because they said, don't pray. They gave me a second letter, said, don't pray. And the media got a hold of that, and I prayed, and it blew up. It went viral, and everybody showed up, and now I think I got fired. So I did one post on Facebook and said, I think I just got fired for praying, and next thing you know, it's everywhere, and I don't know how to get it back.
Okay, so Joe, when you get the second letter that says don't pray, that's kind of like Daniel that said, hey, you don't pray, this is a new, you know, you would throw you in the lion's den if you do. Was there any kind of consequence that said, now Joe, if you pray, you're going to lose your job? Was that specified? Or?
No, it wasn't. And I be honest with you, I went along with it. I didn't pray at that game. Mm-hmm. I gave a motivational thing, and I thought, you know, I just want to coach football, man. I don't want this big nonsense. I mean, these people are my friends. I've worked with them for almost a decade. My wife has worked for the school district for 15 years.
And you knew the lawyers that were sending you the letter?
Yeah, I don't like the lawyers. But everybody in the administration and the school board, these are my friends.
Right.
You know, especially the superintendent. Him and I go to the same church. I mean, we go judge science fairs together. We do things together.
Right.
And this guy's my friend, and I didn't want to, you know, create waves, you know, especially mm-hmm. for my wife. She's the HR director. You don't want to cause waves for your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it's causing all kinds of waves. And so I didn't pray, and I was driving home, and I felt the conviction, and I was like, I just gave up every one of my values. Mm-hmm. Everything I've ever said to my players, that you do what's right, even if it's not popular. And I turned around. I drove back to the field. I walked out there. Another time, I fall to my knees. I'm crying my eyes out. And I'm on the 50-yard line just pleading with God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I will never, ever, ever turn my back on mm-hmm. you again. And then I told the school, I'm going to pray on the 50-yard line no matter what. It's just going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever happens, happens. They gave me the third letter and said, if you pray on the football field, you will be put on administrative leave until you comply with the school district's
policy.
Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I can't do it. I you're going to have to do what you're going to have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out there. I did my prayer. They handed me my letter, and I was suspended for the rest of the football season.
Wow. Okay, we're talking to Coach Joe Kennedy, and the book is called Average Joe, One Man's Faith and the Fight to Change a Nation. And you no doubt have heard about Coach Joe Kennedy because his case went all the way to the Supreme Court. And so, Joe, when did you decide that, hey, I'm gonna sue you over this?
Yeah, I thought we could just work it out with a letter. First Liberty Institute, they came in to help defend me because nobody knew what the legal stuff was. Mm-hmm. Even the district lawyers, they don't know the
right.
First Amendment stuff. They know
they're
all
just
the,
running scared.
Yeah,
hey, we just
exactly.
want to make sure nobody
risk averse.
Right.
And I was sure that I knew what the First Amendment said. You know, you have the freedom of speech, you have the freedom of religion. You know, it's pretty clear.
Well, and you weren't coercing anyone to pray with you.
No.
So you were within the guidelines.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I was telling kids that they had to pray, see, that's just as bad as telling them that they could not pray, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So telling somebody that they have to pray, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And telling them they can't pray, you know, just as bad. So, yeah. And so they wrote a letter to the school, and that's where I thought it would end, because now we have legal saying, hey, this is what the Constitution says, this is what Bill of Rights says, this is what the case law, here's case laws that says that you don't give up your rights if you walk through the schoolhouse gates. And I thought it was going to be over just from that. And
early on.
Yeah, early on.
Okay.
And we would be done.
Yeah. And that wasn't the case.
No. They dug in their heels.
Okay. So then it became a battle of, hey, we're going to have our way. Who are you to tell us what to do? That kind of thing.
Yeah. And outside group joined the school and started being they represented the school district. And
did the ACLU get involved in that? Or
no, it was, I don't even want to say their name because I don't want to give them any credit. But these insane people, and I don't know why the school district let these people. They have a pure agenda to remove all religion from anything in the public square.
Yeah.
And these are the ones that were defending the school district. Yeah. So the school district did take a side, and that was to remove prayer out of the school permanently.
Okay, so how do you stay friends with these people?
It was a legal question. And I did lose a lot of friends over this, but I remain friends with a lot of them too.
Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Coach Joe Kennedy. And his new book is called Average Joe, One Man's Faith and the Fight to Change a Nation. And he took this all the way to the Supreme Court and won because he was in the right and he exposed the wrong. And God vindicated him for standing up for what is right. We're up against a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Coach Joe Kennedy. And the book is called Average Joe, One Man's Faith and the Fight to Change a Nation. And if you remember his story, he was football coach at a small school in Washington State. And they told him he couldn't pray. And so he said, in a nice way, stick it in your ear. God's called me to do this. I'm going to do it. And they fired him for it. And so he fought and he won because we do live in America and there are freedoms that we have. And one of the freedoms we have is freedom of speech and the freedom to pray and to exercise our religious convictions. And so, Joe, how long did this whole process from the time that you lost your job until the time you were reinstated? How long was
that? It was 9 football seasons.
9 seasons?
Yes.
Wow.
Which is eternity. The first four seasons was the roughest because I still had guys, 5, because I had incoming freshmen. These were my kids. I felt like I was part of raising these guys. Mm-hmm. So the first 5 years was the absolute roughest. And we lost every single step of the way. So 8 years of court battles, but it took, I went back into the 9th season.
Okay, and so the group that was representing you, they were taking on all the expense because you would go broke trying to do
that. Oh, yeah. I don't understand how anybody possibly could. Once we tallied it all up, I think it came to right about $7 million in legal fees.
Wow.
So I know the school had probably about the same amount. And you can imagine, I don't know how anybody would do this. But so there's these groups that will take these on pro bono, and I will never see a bill from those guys. And Thank God, because there's no way I would have been able to fight this.
Okay, so what was your wife's attitude as this was dragging on? Because she works for the school district.
Right. So her being in charge of the HR department, you can imagine this is a absolute nightmare. It's turning the school, our community, upside down. Mm-hmm. And
she, how many people live in your town?
About 30,000, depending. It's a Navy town, blue collar. So depending on how many ships are in, and yeah, it's all dependent, but no more than 30,000 people.
And everybody knows what's going on.
Everybody, it's the biggest story to be in our town, I think, ever. I don't remember anything being this big.
What's the name of your town?
Bremerton.
Okay.
And yeah, small Navy town, and I don't remember anything ever being this big. We had everybody. Good Morning America was at my house twice. I mean, it was so weird that to have Fox and you name it, it was there. We did interviews upon interviews. This was, I mean, God turned this thing on fire, and I couldn't understand it. This whole time, I'm trying to wrap my brain around it, going, this is not a big, this is a 30-second prayer. This is not newsworthy. Yeah,
it's a mountain out of a mall.
Yeah. I even to this day, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But God took this and did something miraculous with it.
Yeah.
And changed the entire landscape of religious liberty here in America. So, man, when he does something, he does something.
Yeah, so Joe, you have to think to yourself, Lord, who am I that you would put me in the center of this firestorm?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a theologian. I'm not this, the Apostle Paul. I'm just I'm an average Joe.
Yeah, and I'm a really cruddy Christian at that, I mean, yeah.
So did that affect your job at all?
Oh, yeah. It affected everything. And, you get beat up every...
I mean, you kept your job.
I kept my job. And, everybody hits you from every direction. I had people from churches that were, on my side. Then I had ones that would say, you're not even praying right and you shouldn't be suing people. I got it from and the school district, my wife got, people would call her and say, I hope you burn in hell. Mm-hmm. I mean, she got the worst hate mail ever. So this was hard on our family. And we had two kids in the high school at the time.
Oh, wow.
And so, I mean, this was huge to everybody.
So did she ever, was there ever a time where she was saying, Joe, why don't we just quit doing this?
From the very, very beginning. She thought the rebellious kid that she grew up with, and nobody's going to tell me what to do.
Right.
Yeah. You're not the boss of me. And she thought that this is why I was doing it. And I had no way of telling her that God has called me to do this,
yeah.
And it's the right thing to do. And I can't explain that to her, because the Constitution means something to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we don't have our rights as Americans, and we don't stand up for those, and we lose those, then we have nothing. This isn't America anymore. Mm-hmm. And she didn't have that lens from there. And a perfect example is that the superintendent. He spent, 37 years trying to become a superintendent for the school district. He knew I was doing the right thing. Was he going to jeopardize 37 years mm-hmm. and his job over a 30-second prayer for an assistant coach? Mm-hmm. No. Heck no, he wouldn't do that. I wouldn't expect him to do that. But for that reason, somebody has to stand up and mm-hmm. for those rights. Mm-hmm. And God just happened to pick me. He picked that fighter, the guy who, has fought his whole entire life. You see the fingerprints all the way through that God picked me, mm-hmm. and I don't know why. I mean, but...
Were there very many times, Joe, where you just said, I just can't do this anymore?
Every day.
Really?
Every single day. And I didn't want to do it. I just wanted to coach football. I didn't want any of this. I didn't want anybody to ever know my name. I was a praying coach. That was the last thing. I was like, if you wanted to fire me for... chewing tobacco on the field or yelling at a kid or cussing at him or, you know, I could give you a million reasons to fire me.
Yeah, not that one.
Yeah, of all things, something right. good, you know. I couldn't wrap my brain around it. And to be the praying guy, I wanted to be just known as a pretty good coach, and I made some impact on a couple of kids' lives. That was it. That's all I ever
wanted. How did the students respond to it?
They wanted to fight the school, and they were like, no, we're going to put our helmets down. We're going to walk out the field. I'm like, whoa, back up, guys. No, your battle is on the field. Mm-hmm. This is my battle. So you guys fight your battle. This is my battle. And I told them I was going to be really upset if in stronger language, obviously, mm-hmm. that no, your job is out there. And they were fully supportive of me, absolutely 100%. I didn't have any kids ever that came against me.
Okay, so 9 football seasons, 9 years. Your regular football season, just like everybody else, right? Yep. So September to December or whatever. That's a whole different group of kids by the time you win your case.
These kids were in grade school. They can't remember what happened last week. So, 9 years ago? No, these kids were in grade school.
Okay, so from the legal battles, you were losing, but they kept appealing?
Yeah, so the first time it went through, it went to the Supreme Court once, and that was for an injunction, just trying for me to get back onto the field. Mm-hmm. But the courts kept ruling in these weird ways and started making rules off of this, saying that, you can't pray on the field, and any signs of religion on the field can get you terminated. Mm-hmm. Well, we couldn't let that stand, so we had to appeal those. Mm-hmm. So it went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, we don't rule on injunctions. Go back and try the whole entire case. So we had to start over again, and mm-hmm. I lost 7 times in a row of nope, you're wrong. Even the 9th Circuit Court of Appeals, they actually, the guy, boy, he didn't like me, let me tell you. He, in his thing, he actually said, the way I read the Bible and the way I understand it, it says to pray this way. So he's quoting the Bible and telling me how I'm supposed to pray. So that was a gift.
Yeah.
Total gift, because, I mean, really, how insane is that? Right. And so when the Supreme Court heard it, they articulated it so well and just, and really redeemed it, because my biggest fear was, it wasn't the thing about winning. That wasn't my thing. It was what would happen if we lost. Mm. It would have taken religious liberties out of every government job.
Right.
And it would have been because of me. I would have messed it up for everybody. And that was my biggest fear.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the group that represented you, say it again?
First Liberty Institute. They're out of Plano, Texas.
Okay. And so how long, when that went to the Supreme Court, which is a big deal for the Supreme Court to take your case.
Oh, yeah.
So that's huge. So how long were they before the Supreme Court, before the ruling? Was that like a 3-day thing before the Supreme Court?
Or? No, it's a 1-day thing, but the preparation for it is almost years in the making.
Now, did you testify before the Supreme Court?
No, I didn't. I actually didn't testify at all. We did our depositions. And the court system is not what you think. I thought it was like Law and Order, and the next day. So the lawyers do all the talking, and I just wanted to object and say, you guys are full of it. And they were like, no, let us do our jobs. Yeah, so I had great lawyers. They brought up the best thing. But it's incredible to see that even in our court systems, that's what's really concerning to me, is that at the court level, they're the ones that are making the rules and passing these really crazy things in our country. So
when it came down, hey, we side for Joe, average Joe Kennedy, he was in the right. And so what did that mean for the school district?
For the school district, for me personally, only thing I asked for was from the very beginning was to have my job back and to be able to pray. Only 2 things. And they gave me that injunction relief. That was the only 2 things. Now the Supreme Court took it a step further and corrected a bad law that was from the 1950s, I think it was. So this case law that's been there and has been a burden for religious liberty all these years, separation of church and state. You hear people talk about this. Well, the thing that screwed that up the whole time is it was the Lemon Law and this Lemon Test. And what the Supreme Court did is overruled that. And so what it did is gave the freedom back to the way it used to be. So we have more religious freedom today than we have in the past 50 years, mm-hmm. which is the way it should have been all along.
Right.
So, I mean, God did some great things with this, and off of me just wanting to be able to pray after again.
So when you were reinstated as coach, that had to be surreal.
Yeah.
I mean, that for the whole town, was the town cheering that, or were they lamenting that?
It was a mixture. Years have passed, and you know, a lot of things fade. Mm-hmm. But the great thing is that my biggest concern was that it was going to be a big blow up again, and there was going to be people that were protesting, mm-hmm. and there was going to be people that were, and it was going to be this big thing. And it was so perfect because right after the game, I mean, I walked out there to the 50-yard line, I took a knee, and it was like the first time I ever did it. Nobody even really noticed I did it. So it was like an answered prayer. Mm-hmm. And I walked off the field, and I ended up resigning after that game. And
okay, why did you do that?
Well, the school didn't want me there. They made it abundantly clear, and I didn't really.
They felt like you were toxic, or what?
Yeah, and I understood. You know, they're being forced to take me. It wasn't really fair to the coaching staff that they've been working together for 8 years, and now all of a sudden,
right.
You have to take him back. And the school district, they were pretty good about it. The football program was pretty good. Hurt feelings, and I understand that, but they were pretty good. Now the school district. They really didn't like it. They were doing their press releases and saying, we're forced to take Kennedy back. Here's all this stuff. And their whole language was just, they were just mean and, mm-hmm. and very vindictive and very hostile towards me. And I just couldn't understand why. I was like, it wasn't like you lost. They just ruled and made a ruling. That was it.
Right.
So they took it that they lost, and I didn't think I won. It just answered the question, yeah, you can pray after a football game. That was my question. Can you do it? Mm-hmm. Yes, you can.
Right. Wow. You know, it's funny, Joe, because you weren't trying to pick a fight with those people.
No, I didn't want
to. They came after you. They tried to shut you down, took your job, and you were in the right the whole time, and then it was determined by the Supreme Court, yeah, he's in the right, which is a pretty... pretty black and white thing. It's not like this is way, I don't know. I mean, when you just read, as you said, this is the policy in the handbook or whatever for the school district. I didn't force anybody to pray, and I didn't dissuade anybody that wanted to pray. And so if we can't do that in America, well, what's the Constitution for?
Yeah, exactly. And take it one step further, they told me just stop praying with the kids. I never prayed with a player again after that. I fully complied with that. It mm-hmm. was unfortunate, but I never prayed with another student because I didn't want to cause any more controversy. Mm-hmm. I went back to doing what I originally did, my original covenant with God.
Just go and pray.
That's all it was, and yeah. That's what got me fired.
Mm. Well, the book is called Average Joe, One Man's Faith and the Fight to Change a Nation, and it's Coach Joe Kennedy, as he... fought all the way to the Supreme Court for the right to pray. So I encourage you to pick up a copy. This movie is coming out on this situation, coming out in September, you said?
September, October, yeah, this fall.
So make sure to go see that. Joe, thank you for being my guest today. It's been fascinating. I appreciate your fight and your courage.
Thanks, Jeff.
God bless you, brother.
This is awesome.
Thank you. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'll be with you again next time. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless.